We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Just a mental toughness, you know, Adam, for these guys. I mean, you get down there and they get that first down on fourth and three, and then we end up holding them to a field goal. I mean, that's big time. That's special. There's not a lot of teams that can do that and rebound from that. The mental fortitude that they have to be able to stick together. I mean, they were flying around. I mean, I was just talking to defensive coaches earlier this morning. I mean, you look at this and there's literally like all these guys on the team. There's different spots, different positions, different times throughout the game that they're all just flying around playing fast and they're just creating havoc. I mean, it's cool to see. I mean, it's across the board and you feel that. What that's doing right now is really putting us in a great spot to be able to win these games. And we understand that. That's why when we sit here and we talk about where we're at collectively as a team in all three phases and four phases as coaches too, is we really believe, I believe that there's something special here with these players and something special with the coaches. And even though it's not that fantasy world everybody wants on offense, it's not that. And what it is it's winning. It's winning football. You know what I mean? And that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool when you think about it. So we're gonna keep doing everything we can to win. We love being just, I mean, like, this culture here right now, I wish y'all could have been on the plane with us flying home last night, man. We were rocking and rolling, you know? It's like, we're so fired up right now. It's a great feeling, and it's pretty cool.
That's Matt Nagy today, trying to put a positive spin on 5-1, which shouldn't be that hard. It's also not hard to put a positive spin on what we're going to do for the next 2 hours. I'm very excited about this. We've had a bunch of different people coming in and co-hosting, and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with the new afternoon show here. But on a Bears Monday, Mitch was like, what if we asked Olin? I was like, you think Olin would do it? He's like, I don't know, maybe.
Get the hell out of here, man.
I'm like, you think Olin would hang out with me for 2 hours? Olin Krutz? The Hawaiian heartthrob? I don't know. And then he said yes. I was like, well, then we got to do it for the 4 and 5 o'clock hour. So, Olin, seriously, man, thank you so much for being willing to do this. This is very cool of you.
Oh, no problem, man. I checked my busy schedule, and as usual, there was nothing on it. So I jumped in, 4 to 6.
Let's do it, man. Okay, so I don't want this to be an interview, right? We're going to just kind of hang out and chop it up. But you've done, you know, post-game on TV. You were on with Mullen Haw. You watched the game. What is your biggest takeaway right now? Like, state of the Bears as Olin Krutz sees it. What's the principal takeaway that you have about the team right now? Let's start with wherever you want to take it.
Well, the biggest takeaway is they're probably exactly what we thought they would be when the season started, right? And we thought the defense was going to have to be extremely good, especially they went out and, you know, the big free agent acquisition was signing Robert Quinn to a very good defensive line. So they want to dominate on the front seven, and they're doing that. You were hoping that the offense would be a little farther along, and then they lost the offensive line, lost James Daniels, and you knew that would, you know, that would really hurt. I mean, the guy's really a good football player, probably their best offensive lineman through the first 4 or 5 games. So I think they're kind of what you thought they would be. I thought they would be able to put it in the end zone a little bit more. But, Danny, look, if the year started and I asked you, okay, listen, they're going to take Tariq Cohen out of the offense and James Daniels, how do you feel about the offense?
Yeah, not good. Not good. I got to say, I think that Tariq Cohen is a nice gadget player, and James Daniels, you know way more about offensive line, obviously, than anyone we talk to, and 1,000,000% more than I do. but he is a left guard. Like you mm-hmm. should you
so
should
is Quentin
be
Nelson.
Able, yeah, well, yeah, but Quentin Nelson's better than James Daniels.
Don't tell Q that. His head will grow. But James is on his way, right? I mean, he's on his way to being a very good offensive lineman. And I know exactly what you're saying, but Tariq Cohen, when he got hurt, he had a 20-yard gain on a screen. You could have used that yesterday, right? You could have used him in the backfield. The team doesn't have the offense. We all agree Allen Robinson is a very good football player, but is he explosive? Does he put it in the end zone from 80 yards away, right? We all like David Montgomery, but is he going to break three or four tackles and go to the house? Probably not. So you're looking for a guy. Cole Kmet made a nice touchdown catch. It's good to see him out there. But this is what this offense is missing. So it has to be a body shot offense. You know, I mean, if I ask you, you look at the roster, who's your big play guy?
Yeah, it's eventually Darnell Mooney, a mm-hmm. fifth-round rookie, right? Mm-hmm. Because it was supposed to be Anthony Miller. It was right. It was supposed to be like, oh, Anthony Miller's got these like Steve Smith style tendencies and toughness and all of that. But man, that guy, it's so weird for someone like me to call out anyone else's football IQ. But it's like once every three games, he's doing something that's just insane. Like
the only thing I had going for me my whole life, football IQ. But yes, I mean when he went backwards on that 3rd-and-3, it's just what you've been hearing about him, right? What you've been hearing about him with the wide receiver coach. And I don't know what you think, but I think in any business, after a while, if you hear the same thing about a guy after 3 or 4 years, that's who that guy is.
I agree with you, but I will say he's super talented, and there are plenty of receivers in the NFL that are a little rough around the edges personality-wise. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Whether it's work ethic, whether it's, a me-first attitude, diva tendencies, not wanting to get hit going over the middle, right? Like, it's a diva position, by and large, mm-hmm. right? Throw me the damn ball. So I'm not giving up on Anthony Miller. I'm just frustrated by Anthony Miller.
No, but I wouldn't say, I don't know if you agree, but I wouldn't say he's that good, right? I mean, I used to say in locker rooms, like, if you're going to act like that guy, you better damn well be him, right? Reuben Brown, he would only do the Stairmaster, okay? And he'd yell into the weight room, all you guys do is lift weights and all I do is kick your ass, okay? But I used to tell the other offensive linemen, look, you're not Reuben Brown. Like, you're not him. So you better lift weights. You better be working hard. Rube could look like he's not paying attention, be out all night, and then he'd block people the whole day. So all I'm saying about Anthony Miller is I don't think he's that talented where he can run the wrong routes, where he can back up on 3rd-and-3 and not get the first down. He's not Odell Beckham Jr. He's not Julio Jones. He's not Ridley for the Falcons. He's not that guy.
No, he's definitely not. I'm just saying in terms of, like, giving up on him, who is next? They don't have enough talent at skill position. Mm-hmm. And I heard you with Mullion Haw today, and you were talking about how, like, what Matt Nagy said is great when it comes to attention to details for the coaches. But at some point, like, the players have to embrace the attention to details. And Anthony Miller very clearly hasn't, right? My thing is, man, how much better? Say from this day forward, I'm going to paint you a fantasy land scenario. There is not another injury on the Bears offense, mm-hmm. and they are all of a sudden acing every test, right? Like the C student or the D student becomes the A student. Every detail is perfect. Every assignment is perfect. Effort is 10 out of 10 maximum. How honestly good can this offensive line be? Because at some point, like, I could work out 25 hours a day and I'm never going to be able to bench press 250 pounds. Like, you know what I mean?
You could do it. You could do it.
I don't know, man. But, like, you know, like, we all have our ceilings. We have our limitations. And I do wonder how much of this, when people put it on Nagy or people put it on quarterback or whatever, it's just like, man, some of these guys are just not any damn good. They didn't spend that much money on the offensive line. So no matter how attention to detail they're going to be, the offensive line is going to be a bottom 10 unit in the NFL, and we just have to come to accept that. Is that fair or not?
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. It's fair. When you look at the talent and you look at everything they have resource-wise, and they've used on the offensive line. But after we text earlier today about the show, I was trying to think about the comparison between my years with the Bears, and like we talked about, very good defense and a bad offense, which is very often. But the one comparison I came up with was the 2010 team. When they signed Julius Peppers, kind of like they signed Robert Quinn and added them to him, you know, they had a Hall of Fame DN to a very good defense already. And then they went and got on the offensive line, since we struggled so much, they got us Frank Omiyale and Kevin Schaefer. Anyway, what I'm saying is there wasn't a lot of resources.
Can't even say the second name without laughing.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, the good, great guys, but just not, you know, eventually, you know, we had Chris Williams. They drafted it, and Chris ended up being a better guard than he was a left tackle, right? And then all of a sudden, there was Jamarcus Webb starting that right tackle and left tackle. We just had guys in and out the whole season. But what that team did, NFC, we made it to the NFC Championship game that year before Jay got hurt, just continued to get better every week, right? And I remember late in the season, you know, we put up 40 points, put up 38 points. And if you would have asked me in week five or week six, and I'd have to go look through the games, but I remember there was one game against the Seahawks. We gave up like 9 sacks. I think Jay almost died on the field. But, you know, we couldn't pick anything up. And just kind of we knew we had to be better than the sum of our parts. We just weren't very good talent-wise. But we stuck, you know, you just stick with it. You stick together. And there's only going to be 2 or 3 games this year, Danny, that the Bears' offense has to outscore the other offense. And that's just when they got to show up. And if you look at that year when we were really bad, now the bad thing is, though, when you compare our skill positions to this team, we were probably a little better with Greg Olsen and Johnny Knox and Matt Forte and Devin Hester. And those. But, you know, I think we had 28 points on the Seahawks in like the third quarter of the playoff game. And we were really, you know, we weren't doing anything on offense. So they can do it. They can get better on the offensive line. But interestingly enough, if you look at the last play where you know, everybody's mad at Coach Nagy for throwing the ball, the offensive line, the protection was great. Yep. Nobody got open, right? So there goes to the skill guys now. Now, the skill guy's good enough when there is protection and nobody was open.
How much of that, by the way, like what I said was I'd run the ball because – your defense is so good that the best thing that Carolina would have had going for it, if you had to give them the ball back, was the timeout. So if you run the ball, you force them to give up the timeout, and of course you could get the first down. But it's not, to me, like 100% run the ball, like Twitter was making it out to be, because if all game long you're not running at all, like, if you get the first down, the game's over, and one timeout doesn't matter. Like it, so if the most important thing is get a first down, and then the secondary thing is the timeout, well, then he's going to say, what's my best chance of getting a first down? And they were moving the ball better through the air than on the ground. So while I would have run and I thought he made a mistake, I don't think it's as indefensible as everyone else is making it out to be. Feels like you disagree.
No, I wouldn't say I disagree. Here's the thing about when you run the ball, especially with the offensive line the Bears have. In you know, obviously when you watch the game, like all the way through, at some point when you're calling the plays, like you have to realize that maybe the O-line is wearing out the defensive line. And in the fourth quarter, Danny, they had 6 rushes for 31 yards. That's 5 yards a carry.
Yep.
Okay. They threw the ball 11 times. I think they ran the ball 6 times. I don't have a problem throwing the ball on 3rd and 2 there. My problem was they came out what they came out in personnel-wise. Okay. They came out with Jimmy Graham, Allen Robinson, Cordarrelle Patterson, Mooney, and Miller. If you ask me, that's 5 wide receivers. I don't care what you say about Jimmy Graham.
Yeah,
that's what
of
that
course.
Is. Yeah, so now the linebackers and the safeties, they're not even thinking run anymore. They're just going to play the pass. And they did. They only rushed 4 and they dropped back because they know Coach Nagy's tendencies, that he wants to throw the ball. And that's what Coach Nagy does, right? He he wants to get into this, Mike March used to call it Star Wars, this Star Wars package. And we got five O-linemen going to block whoever they throw at us, and everybody's, but, you know, if you guys would have gave us one more second, this guy would have been wide open. Yeah, okay, I understand that. This is not 7-on-7, okay? Like, there's big guys rushing the passer. So that was my problem with the third down call. I don't mind. I'd like to see Montgomery on the field. I would like to see Cole Kmet on the field with Jimmy Graham. Make it look like run. Make him play run a little bit and then try to get somebody open.
I think that's totally reasonable. And I'm surprised that he didn't do that. And his explanation afterwards where he talked about, you know, in a run pass situation, it's predetermined. We already knew the play that we were running. That doesn't feel right to me. I have no idea.
No,
I've never called plays.
No.
In the
and
that
the
doesn't
play
feel
picked.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the play he picked, right? And there was a, I think it was either two drives before or the drive right before. They had a 9-yard run on first down and then a 2-yard run. And they got a first down. They ran it back to back. And then they threw it three times in a row and they punted.
Yep.
Right? And some of those I can't figure out if Foles is just pulling the ball on run plays and throwing it. So I don't know if they're RPOs or he has an option there to throw the ball. I don't know what's called. But his explanation, Danny, I don't know how you feel about this. Sometimes when you watch the film, it's not what you see. When you, like, I always tell people, I'm like, I don't get any information from anybody. I knew Harry Hiestand when he was with the Bears. I know Donovan Raiola, who coached the offensive line this week. I grew up with him in Hawaii. I know these guys really well. I don't let them tell me anything because they lie to you. I just watch the film. The film tells you all you got to know, right? So that's that when I watch the film and then I listen to what Coach Nagy says, it just doesn't match up sometimes.
Listen, I love that. I say this all the time. I used to argue when I was doing the midday show and now don't have this problem anymore. I was like, I don't want to air the press conferences during the show. Because football people lie when they speak into microphones, and then if they say something interesting, we'll listen to all of it and we'll play you what's interesting. Like Nick Foles after the game yesterday, that was genuinely interesting. Like that was like an inspiring leader who very different than Mitch Trubisky. I was like, man, that's like a worthwhile thing. Matt Nagy's explanation for throwing on 3rd and 2. You can disagree with it, but like let's at least listen to him try to explain what the hell he was doing. But I don't love this about football culture, frankly, but I've never heard an NFL coach speak. And I'm like, yep, telling me the truth. Mike Tomlin, Matt Nagy, my guy Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, John Harbaugh. Pick your favorite NFL coach. You listen to their press conferences. It's lies and PR spin.
Well, and I know what you're saying about a lot of stuff, but a lot of times if you listen to a coach – really get down into the details, you'll see that on film. You'll see like, well, you know, we weren't really running the ball. So I turned the film on the fourth quarter and they got a 12-yard gain, a 9-yard gain, a 7-yard gain. That's running the ball. Like that's gaining yards, right? That's Montgomery and the offensive line finally figuring out what the Panthers are doing to them. And what they were doing was run blitzing them on every first down. And some of that Cody Whitehair's got to adjust, and he's got to start seeing that stuff and get his guys on the right guys. But that's what I'm talking about. Like, we threw the ball because we weren't really running the ball. Well, in the fourth quarter, that wasn't really true.
So do you think that's – so Matt Nagy just needs to realize that and then adjust what his preconceived notion was? Because, like, I do believe him to be a smart man.
Oh, so, no doubt. Good football coach. I mean, if you watch his schemes, I mean, they're good. I just think sometimes when, like I said, he puts that personnel on the field of Allen Robinson and Jimmy Graham and Cordarrelle Patterson, and I think in his mind that's Tariq Hill and that's, you know, that's Travis Kelce. And,
sure.
And, you know, those are just different guys out there, right? And then you got, you know, as good as Allen Robinson is, Jimmy Graham and him are running, like, crossing routes against man coverage, and Rasul Douglas is all over him. He's not open there. And I don't know if Jimmy Graham was supposed to run a better route there or whatever it may be. But and obviously, Foles gets the ball out because the clock in his head is probably sped up after the pressure that he had. Now, he didn't have a ton of pressure. He had zero sacks, but he had some pressure. And he gets the ball out, and they don't complete it. But I just think sometimes Coach Nagy, when I watch like that 3rd and 2 call – I think he thinks he has the Chiefs offensive guys on his team.
This hour's keyword for the Google Home giveaway is WISE. Not Tony Wise, just WISE, W-I-S-E. Text Chrome to 44995 for your chance to win the new Nest Audio from Google. Get the latest sports news from 670 The Score with a little help from Google. Just say, hey, Google, play 670 The Score. Again, text WISE to 44995 to win. Message and data rates may apply. Olin Krutz hanging out with us till the end of the show when we'll join Chiefs, Bills in progress, and then it's Cowboys and Cardinals. You can hear it all right here on The Score. A lot of Bears fans want Matt Nagy to be the head coach but give up play calling. Is that a reasonable hope? We'll talk to Olin about it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
On The Score. Olin Krutz hanging out until 6 o'clock on the Danny Parkin Show on a Victory Bears Monday where the Bears are 5-1. You could watch Olin, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. And it's a good-looking dog that you were showing off during
the game. Yeah, man. He's 8 months. You know, he's a Bernedoodle. He's fun. I enjoy him. So he'll let you form, rip him, and that's the best part about it. I need him a couple of times. He enjoys that. So, that's no, he doesn't, you know. He doesn't press charges when you do that stuff to him, so I enjoy him. Duke.
Mm-hmm. Duke. Do you tell many people that you have a poodle mix? Because I feel like it would kind of harm your image.
I'm 43 years old, Shane, man. All that stuff is over for me. My living on a legend, man.
It's a big softy.
Yes. Yes, I am.
That's... What's the puppies, you know, your kids, obviously. What are other mm-hmm. ways to get the soft side of Olin Krutz out there?
Oh, man, I don't know. You know, that's probably all you need. You know, when you end up with 6 kids and start getting puppies and things like that, life totally changes.
Yeah, man. I got 1 9-month-old at home, and it certainly feels like my life has changed.
I love being around the people with 1 kid. They tell me how much they got to do.
Yo, I'm not comparing it. I'm just saying I'm at the beginning of the journey, man.
Yeah, I hear you. It's fun, man. Enjoy it. They're awesome until they're not.
Yeah, I'm sure that's accurate. Let's just start here. Are you a Bears media member and Bears fan who wants Matt Nagy to give up play calling? Do you think they should?
That's a very good question. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see him give it a try because it hasn't really worked out. You know, what are they actually averaging over the last 2.5 years on offense, right? So eventually you got to take a look. I don't know who you give it to on that staff because, you know, you got some fired offensive coordinators and guys who are actually out of the NFL the last couple of years. So DeFilippo's been fired twice as an OC. Lazor was, I think he was at Penn State last year. You know, maybe Fury, maybe the wide receiver coach, give him a shot. I don't know. I'd just like to see a different voice out there calling plays and let's see if, you know, maybe Coach Nagy on the side can learn something from it. And Andy Reid lets people have input and Eric Bieniemy looks like he at least helps with some play calls. So it's just something I'd like to see.
Yeah, you know, the Andy Reid thing, he would always do it for his assistant coaches, mm-hmm. especially when they were coming up for jobs, and he would do a big thing of making it very public, like, hey, you know, I'm turning over play calling to Doug Peterson. And then you'd watch the game, and he still has the play sheet, and it's still up over his mouth, and it's like, did you really? Or are you just the grandpa of NFL coaches, and you just try to make everybody look good and help them out and get jobs and that sort of thing? Because he did the same thing with Nagy, and he's doing the same thing with Bieniemy. And so I always was very skeptical of, like, did he actually give it up, or was he just trying to help his guys get jobs? But
I wouldn't imagine he gave up 100% of it, right? I mean, but that's what I'd like to see. Like, just some different input. And it doesn't mean you have to give it up, but just because it hasn't worked. And you change the quarterback, and that hasn't really improved it either. And we can go over the talent and all that kind of stuff, but there's only so many positions you can change.
Was that fist pump, by the way, for the Travis Kelce touchdown?
No, that was disappointment. I got, this Bette Rivers app's probably the worst thing I ever did. So I got the Bills. I got the Bills. My problem is when I win, it's like I can't stop myself after a while.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's play responsibly.
But yeah, I hear you. That's not part of my MO, but I'll try.
Okay. That's good. But I'm glad you're getting into sports gambling. So Bills plus 5.5 with Bette Rivers. Olin Cruz. Yeah. I love it. Okay, so that is, I probably never related to you more. We've never been more similar than we are in this exact
moment. you're bench pressing now, so that's good, And
yeah, right.
I tell you what, Rick Camp on this Zoom, he looks like a power lifter. We can get him into it too.
Yeah,
lifting donuts?
No. That's all you need, man. That's power.
Just a little bit of power. Yeah, and I said if I started bench pressing, I could never get above 250. I actually am not. Does it come as a surprise that I've not really started the old workout regimen? But maybe I should be more open-minded to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to pretend like I know Matt Nagy that well. But this is a guy who's got a healthy ego. He believes he was hired to do a specific job, which is run this offense, which is now his offense, even if it's just stolen from Andy Reid's binder that he gives to all of the coaching candidates that are on his staff. I don't believe he's going to give it up. And maybe in 5 years, when he's got like more security with himself, maybe. But he waits all this time to get this job. He goes from Trubisky to Foles. They keep winning. He knows he's got flaws there. He feels like he knows the system better than anyone in that building.
So do you think he should give it up, or you just don't think he will give it up?
I definitely don't think he will give it up.
And what do you think he should do?
I think that no matter who the play caller is, if you have as many problems as they seem to have on offense, that there's only so much a play caller can do to shine up the sum of the parts. Like you said, they have to be better than the sum of their parts. And I think that's the goal, but I don't know. Like if Andy Reid all of a sudden was here, right, if Nagy went to Kansas City and Reid came here, and everyone knows what I think of Andy Reid, how much better do you think the offense is? Is it 10% better? Is it 5% better?
Well, let me hit you with a Parkinism. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
They go 0-3 the next three games. They average 18 points a game.
Yeah.
Do you try a new play caller?
And by the way, I love that that's a Parkinsism, a deep hypothetical into the future that's unanswerable. You're right. That is that is my brand.
Those are the ones you hit me with. I'm so happy to be on the show. I'm just going to turn it around.
Yeah. That is my brand. Yeah, that's probably when you'd start to have, like, there'd be some validity behind that conversation. I honestly don't even think he's been asked yet. Like, hey, would you give up the play calling? I'm going to text Grody. I should have asked him when he was on 40 minutes ago, but I don't even know if the subject has been broached, and I'd be shocked if he would do it. That doesn't mean that he shouldn't. I just like you said, also, man, there's not. I'm trying to think what a good example would be, but there's not some like veteran do, you know, Norv Turner's not here, right?
Mm-mm.
As the offense, like a guy who's called plays for 30 years or something.
Childress,
like.
Right? Childress left. Brad Childress was here.
Yeah.
Look, he it's just eventually, you know, there's some plays when you watch the film, like, I forget what it was, but Mooney won, I forget what game it was, but he was going in motion and they're going to run that jet sweep. And the linebacker for the Colts was pointing out the jet sweep before they even ran it. Okay. So, yeah. So Coach Nagy has some tendencies, right? He has some tendencies on what he does when he calls plays. And the advantage a new play caller can give you is you break some of those. You break some of those. Now it's a different, you know, like it looked like Carolina knew on 3rd and 2 we were going to throw the ball, right? They were in cover 2 man, and they, you know, they only rushed 4 and they dropped 7. So they kind of knew it was a pass play. They knew, yeah. Well, but that personnel they came in with, I mean, everybody knew it was a pass play. But just that's one thing that Coach Nagy could think about, and then you take a step back for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, and maybe you can learn something, because right now, I mean, no, they're not overly talented, but those are the guys you have on your roster. So you have to try something new to try to get the ball in the end zone.
When's the bye? How long do they have till the bye? Because maybe that's the, you know, everyone talks about it, right? It's a big self-scouting week for coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Oh, remember
Ram.
Now, that, I think, was it the bye last week before they played New Orleans? I mean, that wasn't a very good, they were going to fix the run game. Was that correct? They were going to, I was going to figure out, Coach Nagy said, I'm going to figure out the run game, and they had 17 points. Was that the bye week?
You mean last
they played,
year?
They played Oakland and London.
Right. No, yeah, that was, so. But I'm saying this year, like, okay, so 5 more games, Saints at home, or Rams on the road, Saints at home, Titans mm-hmm. on the road, Vikings at home, and then after Vikings at home before the Packers game in Green Bay, that's your bye. So your bye is the week of November 23rd. So you got 4 more games. 4 more games. Maybe he plays it out through then, and if they're still a disaster offensively, he looks to do it then. I'd be very, very surprised if he would give it up. And to your point, there are legitimate criticisms of Matt Nagy as a play caller. If there was an alternative that was there, fine. I just it feels a little bit like change for the sake of change, I guess. When you're like, I don't know if Bill Lazor, or like, I don't know if Mike Furry, or I don't know if John DeFilippo. Like, that's just, I guess that's a little scary to me too.
Yeah, for sure. But I think eventually you as a head coach, your job is to win games, and he wins a lot of games, right? I mean, it kind of reminds you of when Brian Billick went to the Ravens and he won a Super Bowl there, and he had to totally change what his philosophy was and just win off of, you know, win off of defense. And that's what they did. So I'm not saying that this defense is to the 2000 Ravens level yet, but this is a very good defense. And if those turnovers keep coming like they did this week with 3 of them, you never know what this team is capable of.
So Olin Kreutz is hosting the rest of this Bears Monday. At 5 o'clock, I want to talk about Pace v. Nagy when it comes to the offensive problems. At about 5:20, 5:25, you're going to get a chance to call Olin and ask him your Bears Monday questions. But coming up next, the defense does deserve a ton of credit. How good are they? How good can they be? We'll talk about it with Olin Kreutz next on The Score.
Bears won another close game. Offense still a little bit inconsistent, but that defense really, I mean, they were dominant in 2018. They're not that dominant now, but it's been key situations throughout the course of the early part of the season. And today they were dominant. A couple of interceptions, shut down the run game. And they really, I think, dictated the terms for the Bears.
It's Howie Long on Fox. This is the Danny Parkin Show. Olin Kreutz kind enough to hang out until 6 o'clock. I don't know about like comparing them to past years' defenses, Olin,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
Mack, Hicks, Nichols, and Quinn
mm-hmm.
being able to consistently get pressure, rushing 4 and dropping 7, I don't watch as much film as you do, but I do watch as much NFL football as any human possibly can. I watch every game and all day on Sunday. There aren't a lot of teams generating pressure rushing only four guys in this era of the NFL where it's very much like snap, throw, get the ball out quickly. So to me, that might be the single biggest advantage the Bears defense has.
Right, and you know, Tayshaun Gibson, man, I mean, he's been amazing. I think he's a little better than Adrian Amos was. Jalen Johnson for Prince Omokumora. I mean, I don't want to disagree with Howie Long, obviously. Howie's a smart guy, but that defense is getting mighty close to what that 2018 version was. The only thing you're worried about is the middle of that D-line against a team that will consistently stick with the run, although the Panthers came in running the ball well also, right? I mean,
yep.
You worry about the run defense, but it's gotten better. But like you said, I mean, their front four, and I'll tell you what, man, a guy who's really shown up, Mario Edwards, that guy, he gets one-on-one pass rushes. I mean, he just destroys those guys. And let me tell you what happens on an offensive line. You line up, and like we played John Randall in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
And the guards are screaming at you when they got John Randall, like, as a center, like, get over here and help me. So if you're the left guard for the Panthers, you need help with Mario Edwards. But guess what? They got Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, and Robert Quinn. You got to do that by yourself. So if they get a guy like that, Nanny, who will apply pressure from that other spot, because that's not something they expected to have. And this is something that Jay Rogers, the defensive line coach, seems to do every year. He gets one or two guys to play really well, and Brett Urban is playing well too. But anyway, as a former offensive lineman, I do not want to see that Bears front four. I'll tell you this much.
Okay, well, so then tell me about this. Like, give me like a hypothetical bit of line communication between a guard and a center, because this upcoming Monday night, let's say Aaron Donald lines up over Rashad Coward.
Ooh.
How's that going to go?
Well, you know, and as a center, you just want to take your protection to, you know, a lot of times you're sliding. We call it sliding. It just means the way you're working. You're working towards a linebacker, right? And what they'll do with Aaron Donald, and you have to remember now, that's Vic Fangio's protege down there, right? Brandon Staley now running the defense for them. And who knows the Bears offense better than him. So it should be a very interesting game they got coming up against the Rams. The Rams defense has been very good, except for, you know, last night against the 49ers. That wasn't a good bet for me either. But anyway, look.
Betting that, the NFL is hard, man. It's hard.
The NFL is hard. You never know what's going to happen in those games, man. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Such a sharp market. Like,
it is,
it's,
man.
You're coin flipping.
Yeah. And then like, you're just like, and then all of a sudden you got all these live bets now, and you think you know, but you don't. But anyway, so you'll slide. Like, we had Warren Sapp, we had John Randall, right? And the guards, you know, like, say, like, you had silent count, and so the center has to put his head between his legs before they'd gone to the guard telling him. And I would hear the guards, like, screaming for me, because what Sapp would do is I'd call the protection one way, put my head under my legs, and he'd jump to the other side. So the guards would scream, like, he's over here now. And, you know, Sapp would tell me during the game, like, let these guys go one-on-one. And I'd say, hey, Warren, you make too much money to go one-on-one. But John Randall, so you're always trying to give protection to the guy who needs it. And I'm sure they're going to find where Aaron Donald is. So that's what the Bears would be doing versus him, because you got to know where that guy is. It's amazing the pressure he gets anyway with how much double teams he gets. But Staley has done a really nice job of sending five guys so he gets one-on-ones.
When you watch, because the Bears defense was clearly pissed after the game, Eddie Jackson was tweeting about it and Khalil Mack was retweeting it. Like, they feel like they've had touchdowns taken off the board, and they obviously have with these calls. I feel like the easiest thing to say is it's impossible to play defense with how these calls are officiated. And sometimes that's just being a little hyperbolic. But I honestly do feel like Kyle Fuller is being asked to do something that's impossible if that hits illegal. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, I hear you. I mean, playing defense is really hard right now in the NFL. And a lot of times, you know, the offensive guy is the one who's adjusting his level, right? And so you almost just have to let, like Kyle, the only thing Kyle could do is let him go and not hit him at that point, right?
So, but that's not his job. His job is to hit him.
No, that goes against everything he's learned through his career, and Kyle Fuller's turning into the balls. You know, he's just making big play after big play, and Eddie Jackson's there to grab him and take him into the end zone, and they've taking off the board. So I sit with Lance Briggs and Alex Brown during the game, and they say exactly what you're saying. Like, what is he supposed to do there? That's what you've learned your whole career to do, and now Kyle is like, that's all he's doing is putting his shoulder in there, and they call that a personal foul. So it's tough. I don't know if you noticed, but the Bills scored again.
There you go. You got plus 5.5 for the money line.
I got plus 5.5.
Look at you. I'm just so proud of you, man. You're embracing your degenerate side. You're throwing.
Oh, now listen. Now I am from a gambling family, so this has been embraced for a long time. I just never been on the radio before during a game.
Okay. Did you gamble as a player?
No, I didn't gamble as a player. Didn't want to get myself caught up in all that stuff. So,
but I mean, like dice or cards or anything like with your team.
Oh, I would always go to Vegas, and you know, I like blackjack. I like the crap table, although I don't do very well at a crap table because I end up with money all over the place.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Blackjack's always a little better to me. It's just you make one bet, but I do enjoy it.
I could tell you're a bit of an action junkie. That's good. I want more Olin Krutz gambling stories. Who is your running mate in Vegas? Like, if you and a teammate were going to Vegas, who was most likely?
Oh, Big Cat came with me sometimes, right? We go out there, but Vegas has a lot of people from Hawaii moved to Las Vegas because of the taxes and stuff. So there's a big Hawaii crowd out there. So I know a lot of people out there.
If you're at the table and someone like split kings or like split tens, are you going to walk away from the table? Or are you going to talk to them? Or are you just going to deal with it?
Well, you just deal with it. It's you know, he's got a feeling, but I'm not going to wait there too long. People can do what they want on the table, but if someone is ruining the hand, you just got to get up and leave, right? I mean,
yeah,
not going to start a big fight in Vegas.
All right, that's good. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind, and then I'm going to get up and leave. Last one. Do you play the don't pass line in craps?
No. Why go? I'm not cheering for the casino, man.
We're
trying to beat them. I'm not playing the don't pass line. Isn't it the best when the guys in the don't pass line lose? I love that, man. I love when someone rolls, like, you know, someone gets a hot hand and someone's betting don't pass. I just love it.
I feel like Cutler would have been a don't pass guy.
That's possible. Fair, right? Jay would like to piss somebody off like that. That would be possible.
Yeah, I feel like Cutler's a big don't pass guy. Hey, when this pandemic ends, we're going out to Rivers. We're going to the casino. We're playing blackjack and we're playing craps. All right. When the pandemic
sounds good
over.
To me. Sounds right. good to me.
All right. Pace v. Nagy. When we talk about the construction of this offense, how should we be doing it? And then get ready. Your Bears Monday calls with Olin Krutz in half an hour on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.